They always show you the grapes. If you ever see fruits of the Spirit, they always show grapes. And that's accurate. Why? Because Jesus said, abide in me, without me. I said, I am the vine, you are the branches. You can't bear fruit without me. You've got to depend on me. This is the way to do it. You've got to do it. Now, the point about the vine is that it produces fruit, but it needs a stick to hold it up. Christ on the cross used the cross to hold him up. He is a vine and needs a support. He was crucified through weakness, says the scripture. This tremendous statement. And he bears fruit through weakness. We bear fruit by the Spirit when we are crucified with Christ and depend on his presence. The fruit of the Spirit appears by the presence of God inside us. The covenant is not a covenant of law, it's a covenant of presence. The presence of God in us is what satisfies God. And therefore, you produce fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And this list has 9 things in it, but some people say it has 1, love, and then 8 descriptions of love. So love, which is characterized by joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Well, we're reaching the end, and you've done so well to stick with me all this way. Let's move on now quickly to chapter 6, just to conclude our study of Galatians. And you'll notice that this life of love in the Spirit, it's a fruit life. But now in chapter 6, he's saying you're free. You're free now to live this joyful life. How do you live? You serve one another. The life of the Spirit produces a life of service. And he examines this in our treatment of failure. How do you handle people who fail? Answer, by grace. You don't condemn them. You handle them for restoration. And that's why in chapter 6, verse 1, he says, if a man is overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore. Not condemn, restore. The goal of handling people who fail is restoration, not punishment. Of course, if there's no repentance, there'll be no restoration. The person must repent. If there's no repentance, there may even be excommunication, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and 6. But though we do that grievingly, with grief, we do even that with the hope of repentance and restoration through it. It's not a final goal. Excommunication itself is unto repentance and restoration. You can read the whole outcome of that in 2 Corinthians. In other words, we're not in the business of condemning people or excluding people. We're in the business of seeking by all means to restore them, considering ourselves. What would we want people to do? But the point is, he's saying throughout this chapter is we must help one another. And if we do this, loving one another, serving one another, then we will be living this life of the Spirit. And there's a lot we could say here in this chapter, but let me just conclude really with this thought in verse 7. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he shall also reap. And as Christians, we sow to the Spirit by serving and loving one another. How are you going to sow and reap a harvest? The answer is love. We've already mentioned often in our meetings that when we give, we expect a harvest. But that is true because it is a spiritual principle that when you love people, you are sowing to the Spirit. And if you give without love, you're not sowing to the Spirit. Giving money, some people give money as a kind of business investment. They want to give money and they get one money back. But that would just be like treating God like an investment bank. And it's selfishness. But when you are sowing in the Spirit, your motive is love. If you give money without that motive, well, what's the point? What are you going to get back? Nothing. Why? Because your motives were selfish. You know, but if you are sowing in the Spirit, you are giving with pure love. And it's one of the things you see that giving is not something that rich people are supposed to engage in. All are supposed to give. Why? Because all are supposed to love. You don't start giving when you are rich no more than you start loving people when you're rich. You start loving and giving from what you've got now. Sharing. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, and the work of a Christian is to allow love to express itself in all the different ways that it can. And that's why he says, don't be weary in well-doing. We shall reap if we faint not. Do good, be kind, do lots of loving deeds. It's this sowing to the Spirit, sowing in the love of God that will produce a mighty harvest. The background of Galatians is this conflict between the covenants, man-centered religion or Christ-centered religion. My life is based on Christ's presence, what he is in me, not what I do for him. Therefore, all the glory goes to him. And that's why, throughout the Galatian letter, Paul says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. This is chapter 6, verse 14. Save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to me and I to the world. When you take out of this letter, there are about seven references to the cross in Galatians. Seven references. Some of them you've already noticed. Christ was made a curse for us. I am crucified with Christ. Christ died that he might deliver us from this present evil age. They who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And all these references to the cross, they make you realize that it's at the cross that we are saved. There's a famous hymn that says, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Now that hymn, when I survey the wondrous cross, actually goes right to the heart of the gospel. Why? Because it actually goes right down to this fact that all heaven is admiring the sacrifice of Jesus. It's built on the sacrifice of Jesus. And when you sing that hymn, you are being brought right to the Spirit of God in heaven. You're being brought right to the Spirit of the gospel. We are all we are because Christ dealt with the problem of sin and flesh and gave us the power of the Holy Spirit, gave us the power of the cross. Well, there, if we sum up the gospel in a couple of phrases, let me try and do it. I think just say a few things here. The central message of Galatians is this. We are accepted by God through faith in his Son. That acceptance cannot be improved upon by any human effort. It's total. The second thing, the Christian life is a life of abandonment to the Spirit of God. The third thing, the Holy Spirit produces in us the kind of life God requires of us. And the final thing, all self-effort, even the smallest amount, undermines the activity of the Holy Spirit and causes the life to descend into empty religion, defiled by sinful behavior. Follow the gospel. Let's pray, shall we? Father, I praise you for this message of Galatians. I pray that you will so take this little letter and write it deep in our hearts. This message of forgiveness and empowerment by the Holy Spirit teaches this wonderful secret, this miracle life, this pure joy, this laughter that comes from trusting in Christ alone and living in the power of the Holy Spirit. We rejoice together in this wonderful message. In Jesus' name, amen. Well done. You've done very well. Amen.